So our scripture lesson for today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. It is chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, and if you'd like to follow along, you can find it in the New Testament portion of your chairback Bibles on pages 20 and 21. Hear now these words from Jesus. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyards. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon, and at about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others still standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. About 1,000 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Nathan was tasked with confronting King David with the horrendous sin that David had committed, his affair with Bathsheba, and then his subsequent ordering of the killing of her husband. Now, Nathan knew that confronting David directly would not be received well. He knew that it would lead to David becoming defensive and angry, so Nathan employed a different strategy. He told a story instead. He told a story that paralleled King David's actions, and it was only at the end of the story that David recognized the similarities and was forced to see how sinful his own actions were. Just how much damage his sin had caused. And filled with sorrow and regret, David repented, and he began a new and closer relationship with God. A century later, Jesus began to teach using the same strategy that the prophet Nathan had used. Jesus called his stories parables. He used familiar situations, places, and people, and he told stories that drew people in, stories that intrigued people, stories that were surprising because they forced people to see themselves in new ways. Although the situations and the people and places might be not so familiar to us, The parables of Jesus are still relevant today because just as they did over 2,000 years ago, these stories give us great insight into who God is. And they challenge us with uncomfortable truths about ourselves. So this morning I'm beginning a four-part series on the parables of Jesus and starting with the story we just read, the laborers in the vineyard. So imagine with me, if you will, that we are day laborers. There are a bunch of us that gather each day just at the DART station, just outside the DART station in Plano. We gather hoping against hope that somebody will hire us. I need the money. I'm barely making ends meet, and my family is depending on me. So this morning, I've arrived very early, and I'm on the outside chance that somebody will be there early to hire me. A contractor or a homeowner, someone who will give me a full day's work. I stand waiting with about 40 other people when suddenly a man drives up. "I'm looking for some people to help me in my field today," he says. "How about you six?" he says, and he points to me along with five others. "I'll pay you $100, he says, "for a full day's work." Well, my heart starts beating really, really fast because I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled I've been hired. Tonight, I will not go home empty-handed. I'm going to be able to bring home some groceries, and I'm going to be able to put away some money for my rent, which is due soon. $100, I mean, it's more than really I had hoped for. So I head out with the other five, and I get into his truck, and we go to the field. It's a hot summer day, and before long, I'm sweating. But I don't stop working because I need that $100. Around 9:30 in the morning, I notice that the boss has come back with some more people to help out. And, well, that's good, I think. I mean, we'd never be able to finish all this on our own. And then just after our lunch break, our half-hour lunch break, I notice the boss comes back again with even more people. Well, I'm glad, I think. They probably need the money. This happens again around 3:30, and at around 5:30, he brings more, and I think to myself, wow, the boss must really be expecting bad weather. He must need all this done today. About 6:30, the guy who seems to be the manager calls it a day, and I thankfully line up with all the others to get my pay. I mean, I've worked really, really hard. In fact, I couldn't have worked any harder. I'm tired and I'm dirty and I'm hungry. And I can't wait to get that money and head home. I need a shower and a good meal. And tonight I can have both thanks to this guy who hired me. Well, the manager tells the people that were hired last to come get their money first. And as I watch him hand them their money, I see their eyes kind of light up. And as one of them walks by us on his way out, I hear him tell one of the other guys, "He paid us $100. Can you believe it? $100 for an hour's work." So I wonder if I've heard right. And so I turn to the guy next to me and I said, "Did he just say he got paid $100? "Yeah," says the other guy. "And if he got $100 for only an hour, man, we're going to be rich tonight." Well, I stand there with my mouth open trying to take this all in because my heart is beating so fast it's about to explode. Because I've worked seven times longer than that guy. Surely that means I'm going to get paid about $800. $800. Well, I deserve it. I mean, I worked really, really hard. Finally, I make my way to the front of the line, and the manager looks up as I hold out my shaking hand, and he gives me my money, and he says, "Thank you. Good job." I clutch it tightly, and I turn around, and as I'm walking away, I begin to count the money. 10, 20, 30. I keep counting, but suddenly I stop. $100. That's it. $100. I turn around and I see the other five that were with me looking up as they finish counting. How much did you get? One asked. $100. There has to be some kind of mistake. And then one of the other guys says, no, there's not. I just asked the manager and he said the pay was right. We all stand there, we're shocked. And suddenly I'm outraged. That is unfair, I yell when I'm looking at the boss. You cannot do that. We worked all day and you pay us the same thing you paid the people who worked only an hour? That's not fair. You're a cheat. The other five are yelling at him too, but the boss holds up his hand and he says, hold on. How am I cheating you? We agreed this morning that $100 was more than fair, yet now I pay you what we agreed on and you're calling me a cheat? Yes, I shout. I mean, you paid those other people who only worked an hour the same thing. Can't you see how ridiculously unfair this is? No, says the boss, I can't. What's it to you if I pay them the same thing that I pay you? It's my money. I can do what I want with it. If I want to be generous with others, well, that's up to me, isn't it? It really has no bearing on you unless you're greedy. Just take your money and go on home. Well, I'm shaking with anger, but I have no choice but to go. I wish I'd never come here in the first place. I can't help but think of those smug guys that only worked 1 hour, and I imagine they're laughing with glee as they head on home with the $100 in their pocket, while I stand here worn out, about to collapse from the heat. Well, I turn to go, but not without first giving the boss a dirty look and a rude hand gesture. What a jerk. I think we can all agree that this situation seems patently unfair, doesn't it? I mean, the boss is completely out of line. Sure, I agreed to $100, but that was before I knew that I could make the same amount working only an hour. I mean, there are basic rules in life, and one of those rules is those who work harder deserve more. We earn what we have by busting our rear ends, and the idea that someone can get more by doing next to nothing, well, it goes against everything we believe in, doesn't it? Why would Jesus tell a story like this? And more importantly, why is he taking the side of a rich landowner? I mean, day laborers are poor. They need money. And Jesus says he came to bring good news to the poor. Well, I don't know about you, but this hardly seems like good news. Unless we start over and look at this from another point of view. I'm standing outside in the heat, outside the dart station in Plano. I've been here since early morning, hoping to be hired. A man came just after I got here, but he only hired 6 people. They were the lucky ones. We'd all been talking before they were hired, but as soon as they got in his car, they never looked back. Well, I get it. I get it. They're lucky. I stand and I wait all morning for somebody else to come by, but no one does. And then at noon, well, the same guy comes back and he hires more people. But I wasn't near the front, so I didn't get picked again. And he comes back at 3. And I'm still not picked. And at this point, a lot of the other people who'd been waiting for me, well, they just decide, hey, it's not our day. And they head home. But I really need a job. So I stay. And I wait. And I'm just about to give up when that same man who's been hiring people all day long pulls up. Why are you standing here, he says. I mean, why aren't you working? I'd love to work, I say. All of us, I point to the few people that are left with me, we'd all like to work, but nobody's hired us. Well, says the man, hop in, you're hired. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy. I won't go home empty-handed. I mean, it might not be much, but it's something. I'm so thankful. We get to the field and I throw myself into the work thinking, well, maybe the manager will let us work until it's dark and then I'll get a little bit more. But an hour later, the manager calls it a day. Those of you who are hired last, come get your pay, he says. So I head to the table along with the other guys who were hired with me. Here you go, the manager says. Good work. And he hands each of us a stack of money. We're all a little astounded, but we quietly turn around and I begin to count. $100. I can't believe it. He gave me $100. I begin to get choked up because I know that I don't deserve it. I know that I only worked an hour. I stand there shaking with joy, and then I run to thank the boss. Thank you so much, sir. I'm so grateful. You'll never understand how grateful. Your generosity is unexpected, but oh, so welcome. Thank you, thank you. I turn and I start to head home, my heart overflowing with joy. Wow, I think, wow. And as I pass the people in line, I tell them, I can't believe it. He paid me $100. It's unbelievable. I make my way home and my thoughts are racing and I'm unable to describe what has just happened. Of all the things, to think that he would pay me the same as the people who worked all day. I'm just overcome with emotion. I don't know how and I don't know why I was given this gift, but the only thing I know is that it is just that. A gift. Undeserved. How can I possibly explain it? And that's when it hits me suddenly. Grace. That's what it is. It's grace. It's interesting, isn't it? How both people wanted to work. Neither was particularly skilled or trained. Neither was in any way entitled to a job. Both just were lucky enough to get hired. Both were given a job that they longed to have. Both were given an opportunity they wouldn't have had otherwise by this man who hired them. Both were hired and both went home with $100 in their pocket. Yet the first person felt cheated. He got what he was promised, but it seems to mean nothing to him because someone else ended up with a better deal. I wonder, though, if he had been the last one hired, would he have felt differently about the situation? Would his self-righteous anger have disappeared if the roles had been reversed? The answer is most decidedly yes. You see, we believe in fairness. We believe that we should earn what we are given. A person is rewarded by how hard they work. We believe wholeheartedly there should be no free lunch. Unless it's us getting that free lunch. Because then, you see, we're blessed. Oh, sure, we believe wholeheartedly in compassion. We feel great pity for those who are not as fortunate as us, and we want them to have something, but come on. They don't deserve what I have. There's a limit to compassion. There has to be. Unless we're the ones who need it. We're firm believers in God's grace. We talk about its wonders, and we grow teary-eyed singing about it. We find it amazing, yet subconsciously believe we're the only ones entitled to it. We gratefully receive it, but never dream of giving it. Jesus says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. While in our self-centeredness, we may focus on what we believe is just and fair, the parable Jesus tells us shows us that God is not concerned with what we think is fair. God knows, you see, that we're biased. God knows that fairness is in the eye of the beholder. I mean, is it fair that only 6 men were hired to begin with? Is it fair that some of us were born with a lot and others were born with nothing? Is it fair that some of us just happen to be in the right place at the right time, start the right business, or invest in a long shot that pays off, while others struggle their whole lives just to put food on the table? Is life fair at all? No, it's not. Because if it were, then everyone would have enough. There would be no starving children. Education would be free. Everyone would be given the opportunity to reach their God-given potential. Generosity would be the norm and not the exception. The kingdom of God is not fair, you see, especially to those who are firsts. Because the kingdom of God has no room for a pecking order. It has no room for arrogance or greed or envy. The kingdom of God is a place where compassion, not pity, but compassion comes first. Where every person's pain is our pain, and every person's need becomes an opportunity to share, becomes a privilege that we can meet. The kingdom of God, you see, is a place where we understand that none of us, not one of us, deserve anything. That everything we have, even our life itself, is a wonderful and gracious gift from God. The kingdom of God, you see, is one where each of us is so grateful for what we have been given that we live sharing in our abundance. It's a kingdom where we count our blessings rather than comparing our fortunes. Above all, it's a kingdom where grace, ridiculous, extravagant grace, is poured out and shared. It's a place where we rejoice that it's given so lavishly to everyone, even me. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.